Well, today we continue in our journey toward Bethlehem to experience once again the miracle of God's presence in our midst. Once again, we review the most exciting event the world has ever known. We recognize a babe lying in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us, born to die in our place on the cross. And by his sufferings, we were set free. Because of his sacrifice, we have a transfusion of his blood into our lives, making us new creatures, remade in his image. What a glorious thing. How glorious it is that we are now, because of his entry into the world, made fit for the world to come. It is difficult for us to comprehend, difficult for us to understand. But we celebrate his coming. That's what Advent means. It means coming. And we celebrate at this time of year the historical fact that Jesus came to earth to live among us. We celebrate that God's Holy Spirit has come on the day of Pentecost to live within us. That even today he is breaking in to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls around the world. And we acknowledge that he is coming again. The question for each of us is, how are we preparing for his coming? Some are preparing for Christmas, worshiping Jesus as the babe who became our Savior and Lord. Some are preparing to make room in their lives and in their hearts to expand their lives to allow Christ to live in every area of their life. And at this time of year, they're trying to make renovations in their own bodies and minds and spirits to allow the entire presence of the Lord to come in. Some are preparing for the coming of the Lord by trying to keep his commandments, to live their lives as Christ taught us to live. Jesus tells us to watch, to be ready. Because ready or not, here he comes. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we give you thanks and glory for the unspeakable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that he was born in humble surroundings, just like us, that he needed the nurture and love of his mother and family and friends, just like us, that he suffered in every way that we suffered and is tempted in every way we were tempted, just like us. He came to be all man and all God simultaneously. And we thank you for that gift, the gift of yourself, for you love the world so much, you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should never perish but have eternal life. Father, we thank you and we give you praise and glory. It is Jesus who is the reason for this season and for the season of joy in our hearts every day, all year long. Father, we thank you and we give you praise and worship. And Father, as we come now to meet with you and listen to the sweet whisperings of your Holy Spirit in our heart, I ask that you cast aside anything that I would say, because anything I would say would be like a donkey baying at the moon. It would be a disturbance. It would be nothing but a thing that Satan used to confuse us and draw us away from the voice of God. So, Father, we ask that you would speak to us today in a language that every heart here can understand, that you would have your way with us For upon hearing your word, we would respond to your word. So cast my words away, Father, and speak to us this day, we pray. For you have come to be Emmanuel, God with us. Be with us in a tangible way today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I would like for you to turn with me to the first account of the life of Jesus that we have, which is Mark. And I'll be reading in chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 24 through 37. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not well know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. These are the words of Jesus, who is also quoted in Matthew 24 and verse 30. Listen to these sobering words in verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And if you look just to the next page in chapter 25, verse 41, 42, and 46, listen to the words of Jesus. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. In verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus gives words about his coming in the last days. And these words are to prepare us for the judgment. I don't know much about how you feel about things like the judgment, but I know this, that your attitude will affect your altitude, that you will reap what you sow, because the Bible says that that is so. You know, the judgment day is a day that people seem to celebrate, and they say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. And I think when they say that, they're not really thinking it through. It says that every tribe on earth will mourn to see the end come. When Jesus comes again, there will be judgment on the earth. And I don't know anyone who celebrates Judgment Day. I don't know anybody who gives judgment gifts or decorates the church in judgment decorations, or their homes in bright judgment lights. I don't know anyone who goes to judgment parties. At least I hope I don't know anyone who goes to judgment parties. It's a different kind of coming. It is a coming of the truth. I know that by embracing the babe of Bethlehem as Lord and Savior, I will escape the judgment. You will escape the judgment. I know that I will still find it a horror, knowing that many will not escape the holocaust of hell because they would not receive the Christ child. It's a very difficult thing to talk about. But only Jesus can save you from the judgment day. Not asbestos boots, and not a little fire insurance. There are people in churches today who are not saved. They've come to church because they feel a warmth, a glow of Christ. They sense Christ in other people, and they're drawn to Him. But you know, many people were drawn to Jesus and then walked away. So don't be surprised when that happens with you. Jesus is the reason for the season, and yet we forget that entirely. Last night I watched a program. My wife watched part of it. Finally she gave up and went to bed. But it was about Christmas lights in Europe. Sounds like an oxymoron to me. And yet there were these homes, these isolated houses, where they had spent all kinds of time, months and months, and lots of money, to direct the attention of the community to the lights of Christmas. And every single solitary one of the houses they showed, whether it was in England or Scotland or France or Germany or wherever it was, they all had Santa Claus and his reindeer. I didn't see a nativity scene in any of them. Santa, or St. Nicholas, would have been offended to have his image pressed out beyond that of Christ himself. I heard lots of lights and music synchronized together, but it was all kind of rock and roll Christmas with the lights pulsating to the sound of the music. You see, for many of us, Christmas is all tinsel and show. It's not real. It's not real to so many who have concerts and all kinds of wonderful things, and yet when they walk out, they're criticizing the baritone. That's me. They're criticizing something. There weren't enough people. There wasn't this. It wasn't that. And the Spirit is already gone. We come before Christ with our hearts in our hands, offering Him what we have. You know, angels announced the first advent by exclaiming, "Joy to the world and peace to men of goodwill." Those are wonderful, glorious words filled with hope, filled with anticipation. The warnings that I read you that Jesus uttered makes it clear that you can choose between the Christ of the manger or the Christ that returns on the final day of judgment. Joy or judgment seems to be the choice. Seems to be more or less a no-brainer for me. Joy or judgment. You see, I'm not the one who seeks justice. I'm one who needs mercy. I'm reminded about a lady that I knew one time, and she was married to a director who was a very world-famous director. And the first time I met this woman, her back was to me. She was about 18 inches taller than her husband. And she turned around and scared me. I mean, literally, her countenance scared me. It was the ugliest woman I'd ever seen. Why are you laughing? I knew a guy who had his photographs taken for some shots, for resume shots, and he was really, really desperate to have himself put forward in a certain way, and the prints came back, and he looked at them, and he ran back to the photographer, and he said, "These things don't do me justice." And he said, with a face like yours, you don't need justice, you need mercy. All of us need mercy. Because when God looks into my life, he sees the filthy rags. And I'm fortunate that I have received Christ, so when he looks into my life, he sees his son looking back at him. That is the mercy of God. The mercy of God. It seems as though each of us need to remember that. Sometimes the things that seem obvious to us turn out to be rather complicated. There was this young man who was going to see his friend John, who lived on a farm, and he was walking to his house. And as he walked toward his house, there was a big barn, and on the barn there were targets everywhere. In the middle of each target was a bullseye, and in the exact middle of each bullseye was a hole. And there were no other holes in the barn. He could hardly believe it. How could you be such a crack shot? So he was walking up to the house, and his friend John came walking down. He said, John, I just walked past the barn. It's filled with all these targets with holes in the exact middle. Who did that? He said, oh, I did. He said, how did you do it? He said, with my rifle. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, one day I came out, shot holes in the barn, and then went and painted circles around them. And that's what many of us do. We're just like John. We present a good thing, a bullseye, and yet we're far from it. We've just learned to play the game. Oh, we have all the things, the attributes at Christmas time, especially of being a good, strong, loving ambassador for Christ. I mean, we have that Christian smile that means nothing. We carry a Bible in just the right way. We've learned to quote scriptures just like Satan. We've learned the verbiage of the things to say. We've done all the stuff that we need to do. We give presents so that we're thought to be generous, loving people. And all the time, we're faking it. Because the love of God is not in us. We're like those targets painted after the fact by our own hand. We look like we're right on target to the rest of the world. Like we've learned to hit the bullseye. But when we really have just learned to paint over our mistakes. You can fool some of the people some of the time, Lincoln said. You can fool some of the people all the time. But you can't fool God at all. Because God knows our hearts. And he tells us that even if we're all religioned up, that doesn't prepare us to meet the Lord. It does not mean that you've even met the Lord. You may have or may not have made straight the way of the Lord into your life. This is the time of year when many people prepare for Christmas by buying presents. And we buy presents for family and friends. But often those presents reflect our budgets, our traditions. They reflect our need to be appreciated. They reflect our need for our reputation to be upheld as a generous, loving person who always is able to provide. And all of that is pride. And we give our pride away, all wrapped up in a nice, shiny packet. In other words, the presents we give reflect our own needs more than they reflect the desires of others. That's the way we are. During the year, we find opportunities to share ourselves every day, every single day. Some of you have been doing that. You've been going out and handing out the money that I gave you to give out to people just as a blessing. You've given out a tract. That so blesses my heart. That you do those things every single day. But we really need to give away is our faith, because that's the greatest present we have to give. It is the love that sustains us and comforts us in times of trial. It's what sets us apart. It's what makes us ready for heaven. We need to share our faith because it's what gives us the strength to carry on in a world that needs to be carried. It is the abundant life. We need to share the joy that is within us. You know, the essence of joy is the presence of Christ. Unless you've received Christ, you can't give Christ away. You know, often I'm asked to give something. I don't have the means to give. If I had it, I would give it. I really believe I would. But you know, there may be Satan whispering in my ear, well, if you have a whole lot of it, maybe you want to hold on to it. That's not the way it is with the Spirit of God. Because the more you give away, the more He fills you up. You're like a conduit. And that conduit can get so empty that you end up having to prime the pump in order to get any water out of it. But God, if you're in His perfect plan, continuously flows through your life, from your life into the lives of those around you. That is the gift of God. That is why Christ came. We need to share our faith. So this is how we prepare for the Lord's arrival. First, we receive the baby, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. We receive that presence of joy as a present from Christ. Second, we invite Christ into our lives to dwell within us like an honored guest whose wishes become our commands. And third, we get actively involved in building the kingdom of God, which is a shelter for those who are outside in the Holocaust to come in from the world into a place of peace and love and acceptance. It is a place where we prepare people to go on to heaven. It is just a safe house between the prison of our sins and the release of glory that awaits us. It is a safe house that we build. If we're willing to do that, then we are truly preparing for the coming of Christ, a place where people want to know Christ. In verses 13 through 35 through 37, Jesus tells us about how to be alert. And I read that to you, that you're to watch, you're to wait, you're to do those things that are necessary to be prepared. To be prepared. Because He's at the very door. Jesus is at the very door of our lives right now. I'm sure He's monitoring everything I say. He's recording everything I say, because every word that I use in my life, whatever casual way I used it, I will see again before I enter into heaven. I'll be accountable for every loose word I ever said, and so will you. He stands at that door and waits, announcing His coming. And you know He's coming. You may die in a car accident. You may die of a massive heart attack. I've been in a car accident that no one thought I should walk away from. A woman fainted when she saw me walk out of the car. She couldn't believe it. I've had massive heart attacks that nobody thought that I would live through. You don't know when your time is near. But I know this, that He's coming. And ready or not, He's going to be right here to receive you. You know, so we have to consider that, don't we? We have to consider the fragileness of life. What hurts me is when there are people that are looking out at their congregations today and not telling them the truth. They're telling them a sweet story that makes them feel good, but they're not telling them the truth. They're not plowing the ground for Christ's word to take root. Sometimes it's important to plow the ground in such a way that it breaks the heart. Sometimes it's important to plow the ground in a soft and loving way. But you must plow the ground. There are people in your lives that you know, and sometimes you have to approach them with caution, because the seed you're about to plant in their life may be the only seed that's ever planted in their life. And you have to make sure it's nurtured. You have to follow up to make sure it grows. Jesus wants to follow up. He wants you to know. Oh, there'll come a time when the skies roll back and Jesus appears with a shout and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that will not get any credit for that, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if you haven't already bowed your knee, if your tongue has not already confessed Jesus is Lord, when He comes back in the air, it's too late. The saddest words of all. Someone asked a biblical scholar one time, they said, "What is Jesus shouting about? What's He saying?" And he thought about it a long time. And he said, "I believe that the shout that comes from Jesus' mouth is enough. Enough sickness, enough sin, enough pain, enough heartache, enough time. Enough. One day there will be enough. And that will be a day that's just too late. If you miss Him in the manger and on the cross and in your life, you're going to miss Him when He comes back. You'll be part of every tribe that mourns, not everyone that rejoices. Jesus tells us to watch, to be alert. Do you hear what I hear? You have the ears of Christ. Do you hear the hurts of people? Do you hear it from their mouth? I was told this morning about a family who are Christian people on staff in another church, and they didn't even know that their son was grieving. They couldn't hear it. Someone else heard it and had to tell them. Are we so far removed that we cannot hear the cries in one another's lives? Are we so cold at heart that we no longer feel compassion for those who come needing Christ in their life? Do you hear what I hear? The song says. It's the world where everyone is screaming for something. Everybody's shouting. Sometimes you have to have earplugs to blot out the culture. I have a friend who has a church not far from here, and he actually issues earplugs to all the seniors because he knows that they can't stand all the rock and roll loudness of their worship. I bugged him about that a few times, believe it or not. God's not deaf. But you're making all the people deaf. Sometimes the culture just screams things at us that we just think, oh my goodness, the very power of the sound makes us reverberate. We feel that feeling, and it's not a loving feeling that we feel. One time I was a consultant at an airport here locally at DFW, and they were having a failure of their sealants. Sealant failure, and I had to redesign their roofing systems, and I redesigned everything at the entire place there, and I was looking at the sealants to find out why they failed, and I called the Air Force, I called all kinds of people, because there were all kinds of theories that it was failing because of the chemicals that were in the air, because of jet fuel and things, because it happened right where the planes pulled up next to the airport, and it was failing everywhere. It was failing at other airports. And so I ended up writing what I called the Jericho Factor and circulated it to all the airports in America. It turned out that the sealant was nothing more than a vibrating drum head that all the people, because of OSHA, had to wear little earphones around their heads to protect their ears from the sound. But nobody thought about what it would do to materials. So I did an entire study on what it would do to martyrs in train trestles, how you would have to look at grout between bricks on the lower levels of the street as opposed to the higher levels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was because sound brings things down. It can destroy it. And my solution was to put one joint of sealant recessed back in the joint, and then a backer rod, and then another joint, which was sacrificial. You see, that has an application spiritually as well. Sometimes we're just destroyed by the sounds of the season, materialistic sounds. You have to buy this in order to be loved. If you don't buy your child a toy, a car, or a Maserati, or whatever it is, there's a wonderful little commercial on television now, and I know all about it. I know exactly why they did what they do, and they've got this little theme song for Lexus playing. Maybe you've seen the commercial. And every time they hear it, you know, in an elevator, music box, and a big smile, and they run out, and here's a Lexus with a bow on top. Boy, that means you're going to be loved because you gave something really big. All the time, Christ is calling out to us with the truth of the gospel. It's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know why? Because most rich people don't give, aren't generous of spirit. Do you hear what I hear? Sometimes there are people hollering just to be noticed. I see all the politicians, they're all hollering. Look at me, I'm here. I'll say anything you want me to say. I'll give you everything you want. I'm the one that can do it. Me, 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 me. I'm yelling at you. I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. I'm the one. I'm good. They're bad. All I want is to be your leader. I've never read this book. I never understood about being a servant leader who gives up his life for their friends. But we hear it. It's hard not to hear the mood-changing commercials that try to tell us that we need a particular product. But in the midst of all of those sounds, of all of those things trying to gain our attention, in the midst of all of that, there is a town in Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, and a baby cries out, and angels sing out, joy to the world, and peace to men of goodwill. Can you hear it? Can you hear it deep in your heart? Sometimes preachers are loud and shout and scream and do all the things that they've learned the culture says you need to do. People study the speeches of Adolf Hitler to find out how to communicate with people. Spellbounding, screams and yells, things that he did. Sometimes preachers study that way too. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is whispering, I love you, to the world. Are you still? Do you know that God is calling you by name so that you may use His name when it's time to enter His kingdom? He is calling you by name. Christians, Christ bearer, a son or daughter of the Lord, the most wonderful, magnificent gift the world has ever known, has come to us. Advent, broken into the world. And here he is, waiting under a tree that looks remarkably like a cross, waiting to be unwrapped and taken home, placed in your life, to guide and direct your every thought. For my birthday, my wife gave me a Grauman thing. You know, it tells you the directions by satellite, where to go. I think she was getting tired of telling me that I was going twice around the houses. But she gave it to me because on some nights when I wake up in the middle of the night, some nights a little earlier, some days, people from the dispatch, police, or fire department will call me. And they'll give me an address where someone has died. And I will be able now to take that address and put it into this little thing, put it on the dashboard of my car, and it will guide me directly to where I need to be. Is God guiding you where He calls you to be? That's what He wants. That's what He wants. He wants you to take Him home and use Him to light your paths, to be a guide unto your feet. And He wants you to take Him home and embrace Him so that He may embrace you too and take you to be home with Him. The holidays are always about going home, aren't they? You see, it's not Jesus coming that's as important to many people as you age as going home to be with Him. But Jesus is here right now, and you can be at home with Him now. He can come and live in your life right this minute if you would simply receive the gift that God gave. That is why He's here. That is why He came. That is why He's coming again. Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we acknowledge that You've given a gift so grand that we could never compete. That You gave Yourself, and all we have to give is ourselves back to You. And so, Father, please receive this gift we give today for all of those who are willing to give their life to You for the first time or for the umpteenth time. Father, for those who are willing to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me, use me, be my Lord and Savior. I have sinned, I have fallen so short. I've shot holes into the wall and tried to pretend that they were right on, that they were bullseyes, when in fact they were hits and misses. Father, I've missed Your mark. I need Your forgiveness." Father, there may be some of us who remember the Christmas that we used to have when we saw through the eyes of a child the wonder and glory. And Jesus said, unless we come as one of these little ones, we couldn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, I ask that You would recreate in us that desire, that sense of awe and wonder, so that we on this day might come to You as little children once again. Father, we know that there are some who have trouble in their life because of lack of health, lack of money, lack of love, lack of so many things. But Father, You've come to fill up every part of us to overflowing. So, Father, if there's someone here who needs to come this morning to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as a candidate for baptism, to publicly profess You before men, if there's someone here who needs to rededicate their life, if there's someone here who knows that they have a need in their heart and they are asking You for a special present this year of Your healing hand upon their life. Whatever it is, Father, we pray that they will take advantage of the gift that You have given that sits under the tree, ready to give them life and life abundant. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.